extra cup of coffee really got me going. Let's go. Oh, no.
You just took a no-dose?
Senate Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will come to order. Members, we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to get started. We're already late. We are being asked to go back to the Senate floor at 2:15. So we're going to go through the short list of remaining proposals that we had left already scheduled. And then we're going to talk about our bonding recommendation. And I would like to get that completed by 2:15, because we're not going to, we don't want to come back to this next week. We just really need to get our recommendations to Senator Langseth this week. So we'll start with Senator Vickerman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for giving us an opportunity to come before you and discuss Senate File 2460. It's from the bond proceeds. It's for the Prairie Ecology Bus Center, and I think a lot of you have already visited the bus center or know about the bus center. We're trying to improve it and make it better. And, Madam Chair, I think I will have the expert explain it to you easier than I could because of the time strain that I am on and you are also on. Would that be okay?
You bet. Is that Ms. Dunker?
That would be Ms. Dunker. Crystal Dunker. I'm the director of the Ecology Bus Center. We have a project in the works to transform our current office and create a new nature and science center utilizing a barn that is existing on the property and building out from that barn, which will turn into a classroom and a lecture hall. From that barn, we will build out to include an exhibit hall, volunteer workspace, and office space for staff. In addition to the Science Center, we're looking at developing the park into an interpretive park, basically a teaching park, where we can invite teachers in to do teacher training workshops. We can have homeschools from throughout the region come over for added science programs and provide equipment that may not be available to them, as well as other types of programming such as seminars, adult-oriented seminars on natural resources, and expanded youth programs as well. The project that we have proposed, I don't know if you're interested in looking at a poster. I'd be more than happy to pass it around if you'd be interested in seeing the colored version of what the current architect rendering is.
We've got it.
You do have a copy. Okay. But I would like to back up for just a moment and direct you to the colorful brochure that was just passed out. The brochure is actually for a current campaign that we're undergoing to replace our ecology bus. But on the back side, if you would turn to the back, at a glance you can see that since the very first day of our programming, we've been a regional program in our focus. We started with 12 county service area, and I counted it up last week, just curious on my part to see just how far we've expanded, and we are now up to serving 30 counties in southwest Minnesota. And so our programs do reach out far and wide, and this center would be a way to support the ecology bus programming as well throughout the region that we do. Any questions so far? Would you like me to continue?
Just tell us just a little bit more about what you will do at this center and with your bus.
Currently, with the office space that we have, we're operating out of a small old farmhouse. To emphasize the old, we just pulled 3 raccoons out of our walls last week. So it's a building that has a lot of issues, and it certainly could be fixed, but it still won't cover our bigger issue that we have no space to expand, to bring in interns, to bring in additional staff to support the programming. Right now, we're maxed out in all of the rooms that we have, and for our workshops and seminars that we provide, we're limited to about 12 participants per program, because that's all the more space we have to put people into our building. And so whenever we do expanded programs, we have to look for other sites to go to host our seminars, to host our teacher training workshops, and even for the larger groups that we do for community programs, public programs, usually we have to find locations off-site to conduct the programs because we just don't have the space currently to use. And this center would provide for expanded programming because it would allow us the space and the additional staff to provide for those programs.
So you said you serve 30 counties with the bus?
Yes. And we also do other outreach programs. We do teacher training workshops throughout the region. We'll move our programs around to try and find a place that would host it, as opposed to being able to host it on site and have that, That's the word I'm looking for. The ease of providing multiple programs by having it in one central location as opposed to moving the workshops around, we would be able to provide more programming by having a central place to work from and provide the regional trainings, if that makes sense.
So the on-site would serve people in what range
Yes.
of geographic area?
Depending on the type of program that we're going to be doing, if we're going to be doing a seminar that would have regional significance, if it's going to be on a particular natural resource topic that would be a huge draw for people to travel, we would expect people to travel at least a couple hours to come out for some of those trainings. We certainly know that our teachers do that. They will travel a couple hours to come to a training that they know is going to be worth their time. And we've built a reputation to providing those types of classes. And so we know people would be moving or driving at least a couple hours.
And are there any other similar kinds of environmental learning centers or comparable kinds of facilities in that region?
As of right now, for this type of a facility that would be year-round, would be open to the public so people could come and go as they would like, as well as our regularly scheduled programs, there are no other facilities really in our region that provide that sort of programming were it.
Okay.
And so it would be nice to have a place that people could come to on a more consistent basis.
And you're requesting $2.5 million. What's
Madam
the budget breakdown? Or Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chairman, I want to also put a pitch in for green energy. This facility, it's an existing barn is on the site, but allowing them to highlight our agriculture roots. A new addition would add classrooms, hall, conference room. This project would use recycled and sustainable grown products, use GMO thermal heating and cooling system, minimize energy consumption, and harvest rainwater for irrigation. It's truly a green project that utilizes environmental friendly building principles. Madam Chair, you and I both know that that is on the front burner of most places now is what we call, I call it green energy, but it's green. You know what I'm talking about. Thermal heating and cooling is something that I've been kind of following,
mm-hmm.
and I see different places they want to go way down and use that heat. And you know, that isn't hard to figure out because I have a water system, and, you know, we put those just below the frost, and they never freeze mm-hmm. because there is enough heat. And I used to feed cattle at one time, and what you did, you put a tile down in the heat up there that never froze.
Hmm.
And so it's just one of the things that we can that we're going to be involved in, whether, and I think most of us want to. It's just going to happen.
Thank you, Senator Vickerman, for mentioning that. This building will actually be a green-designed building. The architects that we are working with have designed the facility to be that way. We are exploring the geothermal energy. We're looking at potential wind energy, solar energy, certainly. The placements of the windows, how the building designed is designed would maximize our solar heating gain in the wintertime and lessen it in the summertime. So we shouldn't need to turn on an air conditioner or anything like that with the geothermal. In addition to that, we're looking at composting toilets, both out in the park and in the facility itself, and making use of sustainable resources as well.
And how much of this appropriation would go for the building? How much for the bus? What's your estimate on?
Well, the bonding application is not for the bus.
It's
I brought
the
brochure
building.
Just
That's
to show you the map on the back side of our service area. So the bus is a separate project we're working on ourselves now.
And
the building itself, we're estimating to be in the neighborhood of $2 to $2.5 million itself, and then the park development, the trails, putting in teaching stations throughout the park, such as a dock on the pond, a bridge over the creek, and other stations throughout the park that we can actually use as teaching sites for our programs. And the other $2.5 million would encompass the park renovation to turn it into a teaching park.
Okay, this is owned by Jackson County?
Jackson County Park
okay.
is the park that we'll be using, and they will actually own the building. We will operate the programs out of the building.
Okay, great. Senator Chaudhry?
Madam Chair and Ms. Dunker, your plans include renovating the existing barn there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've had architects an architect out look at it, two architects and one contractor that have come out and given us the okay that the building is in good enough shape that we have something to work with. And they're very enthusiastic about preserving the barn and keeping the character of the barn throughout the design of the building as well.
Well, Madam Chair, I am too. We had a chance to visit this site this fall, and first of all, I was flabbergasted at how much this group does with so very little. Your bus serves so many people around the region, not just the county.
Throughout the region,
my understanding. And bringing nature education to people. And perhaps that was somewhat out of necessity because there's really no place for people to come to.
Correct.
Even if they wanted to. So, this project is regional. It is supports sustainability. It's efficient use of the county park that's probably underutilized at the moment. And I think it brings education to a higher level in your community, in your region. And I just
thank you.
I think this is a great project.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. All right, if there's any other questions from the committee. I was wondering if raccoons could produce methane gas or anything like that. Can we?
I don't know about methane, but when we
power?
Put our heads up in the hole looking at three raccoons looking back at us, there was a substantial stench that did come from that hole. So.
All right, well, we'll check that out. Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming up here to present this to us. It's an exciting project.
Thank you. Thank you for considering
thank
the application.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee.
Thank you, Senator Bickerman. All right, Senator Wieger. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, division members. The Senate File 1248 was an appropriation for the Gateway Trail. As you will recall, there was $650,000 included last time so that there would be a tunnel at the intersection at Highway 36 and 120. It was a tunnel at that point because there was an opportunity during the reconstruction of Highway 36 that a tunnel would be the most cost-effective way of addressing a serious safety concern. However, since the bill was vetoed and the construction is now done, we are looking at another option, a bridge or perhaps some type of grade-separated crossing. They're going to look at the potential of a tunnel yet, and I'm going to have an amendment for you to look at. The bottom line is this. The Gateway Trail continues to grow in popularity. As you know, it starts just north of here at the Capitol. It works its way through St. Paul, Maplewood, North St. Paul, Oakdale, through Washington County, eventually to William O'Brien Park. It's one of the most heavily used trails, but it is very, very dangerous when you go between North St. Paul and Oakdale at an increasingly busy intersection. And because of that, we're asking for safe crossing. And to provide a brief background and yield to any additional questions you have before I'll suggest some amendments, I have the city manager of North St. Paul, Wally Weissnoppel.
Okay, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate that the Gateway Trail carries over 200,000, approximately 200,000 people through that segment every year. The city spent of its own funds $2.5 million last year to reconstruct Highway 36, and in that eliminated three at-grade crossings of the Gateway Trail. We're very fortunate to have the trail through our city. However, this is the last bottleneck, if you would, of the trail within the metro area. And at that state highway crossing, it is very dangerous, and we would seek some assistance in creating this grade separation for all the trail users, and so it can be safer and reduce the cost for the city for responding to emergencies and that type of thing.
Great. Well, thank you. Senator Wicker, I've biked that trail many times and been out on Highway 36, and it's real nerve-wracking when you're on a bicycle dealing with the traffic there. So I think this is a critical issue that needs to be taken care of.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. On the fiscal impact of the delay, I'm told it could cost up to $1.5 million if it was a bridge. And I spoke to Stan Linnell, who's here from the department. It was suggested that you fill in the blank, but it would, at line 1.7, we would delete the word tunnel, and to keep our options open, insert the words grade-separated crossing. And then the department would determine what would work best.
So you don't have a dollar amount to know what that would take exactly?
The sticker shock of $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. But if we're to do it right, I'm told that's what the cost would be.
All right. Any other questions? And could that be completed this year?
Our understanding is that it can be.
Sir, okay. Excellent. All right. Any other questions? Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
We'll see what we can do to help. All right. I think we're going to go to Senator Parisot and take her two bills next. I have to leave and go talk to the Higher Ed Committee for a few minutes about my bill. So we'll let Senator Rummel, she's going to chair for a few minutes.
Senator Parisot?
Sorry?
We're ready to hear your bill. So sorry.
She didn't. Thank you, Madam.
She didn't hear.
Poor girl can't get a sandwich.
Which one are we starting on?
We can start with,
689?
Why don't you bring them both and you tell us which one.
Sorry, I was focused on my lunch. I'm sorry to say.
That's quite all right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Starting with 689. Madam Chair and members, 689 is a bill that asks for some bonding money in order to build a footbridge over the Cannon River as it flows between Dakota and Goodhue counties. And today we have a witness with us who is the Dakota County Commission Chair, Madam Showalter, and they are a partner to the Intercounty Agreement on this issue. So they've been working at this for a long time, and it does link couple popular regional parks along with two very popular regional trails. And it establishes some links that will make it better for people on both sides of that river and into both counties. So.
Madam Chair, I'm Nancy Schuweiler, Dakota County Commissioner and Chair of the County Board. The Cannon River Pedestrian Bridge and Milltown's Trail Acquisition Proposal is a much more exciting project than its name would lead you to believe. There are three main components to this project that will make it stand out from the other proposals that are before you. First, there are four important state, regional, and county recreational units coming together. Second, the proposal is based on a partnership between local and state governments. And three, this project links existing recreational areas, allowing greater opportunities than the appropriated investment would otherwise afford. The land acquisition and pedestrian bridge construction will link two parks into trail systems, as Senator Parisot mentioned.
The Cannon River Crossing is a critical missing link that will connect the proposed Milltown State Trail from the west in Faribault to the popular Cannon Valley Trail east to Red Wing. The proposed bridge will also connect Lake Bilsby Regional Park to the adjacent Goodhue County Park, both located on the Bilsby Reservoir. A pedestrian and bike bridge crossing and the acquisition of three key private parcels are needed to create this integrated recreation corridor, creating a 100-mile trail corridor once it is completed. Without the bridge, there is no opportunity for park visitors to cross over the Cannon River for uses such as hiking, biking, rollerblading, as well as the opportunity for the county staff to better share park maintenance and security functions between the two parks. The proposed bridge will be 25 feet wide by 380 feet long and will cross the Cannon River below the Lake Bilsby Dam. This crossing, which would be the only pedestrian crossing of the Cannon River in this area, has been identified in Goodhue County's Park Master Plan, the Dakota County Park Master Plan, and the Milltown State Trail Draft Master Plan. The Milltown State Trail will connect the Cicada Singing Hills Trail and the Cannon Valley Trail. It will be approximately 25 miles in length, connecting the towns of Cannon Falls, Randolph, Waterford, Northfield, Dundas, and Faribault. The trail will pass through Goodhue, Dakota, and Rice counties. The three parcels that need to be acquired for this connection are valued at approximately $500,000. This proposal is based on a partnership among the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Goodhue, and Dakota counties. With the funding of this proposal, construction would take place in 2008 and 2009. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for your testimony.
Madam Chair, I have three people from Goodhue County as well. To my immediate right is Commissioner Samuelson and Greg Isaacson, and I think that we'll probably have the third person come up as well.
That's good.
They've been working on it together with Intercounty for some time.
Did your other testifiers want to speak to the project?
I think they might have something to say, yes.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, yes, I'd like to speak to...
We need your name for the record.
I'm sorry. Richard Samuelson, Cannon Falls. And getting back to the project, I think this would be a great link between Dakota County, Goodhue County. We've always worked very well together. We own or we share the Lake Bilsby Dam, or that, and there's it's a great recreational facility in our county. In fact, it's really the only lake we have, and we want to make the best use of it that we can. So this opens up great opportunities for the community, Dakota County, the two parks, and like Commissioner Schuhweiler alluded to, that we have a master plan, and this is part of it. So we would certainly make good use of this if this were to happen. Thank you.
I would draw your attention. I believe that the people from Goodhue County have told me that this is in your packets. I'm not sure if it's green or if it's black and white, but it's kind of a bird's eye view of the entire area.
Well, while I don't have a piece here at my place, my husband and I go down there quite often, and it is an absolutely beautiful area. We're down there quite a bit. Senator Fredrickson, did you have any comments or questions?
Madam Chair, I had a couple questions. First of all, are the trails to this bridge in place now?
I'm going to turn this over to our park manager, our engineer, also Greg Isaacson. He can answer all these expert questions.
Good afternoon. Yeah, my name is Greg Isaacson from Red Wing, Minnesota. I'm the Goodhue County Public Works Director, and that involves parks. At this point, the trails are not connecting to this bridge. That is part of the request here is for monies to acquire easements along the southern part of the Cannon River that would allow the trail to go basically from the end of the trail system in Cannon Falls out to our Bilsby Park. And then just before it gets to the Bilsby Park is where the touchdown point for the southern part of this bridge would be. And if we get funded for this, then we could build the bridge to get over into Dakota County. In Dakota County, Dakota County owns the property on that side, and it does tie directly to their trail. The Milltowns Trail is a group that is working to finish completing the trail from basically from Dakota Park, Dakota County's park, through Northfield, and then down to Faribault. And I believe there's a few pieces between that the Milltown Trail is still trying to acquire.
So where are there any questions of the people who are here?
Well, Madam Chair, and to since this since the link to the bridge is not in place now, could you tell us what amount of money you'd need for the planning and engineering for the bridge, and not for the actual construction, but to get it ready to construct?
Madam Chair and members of the committee. Engineering costs, the cost of the bridge itself will be somewhere around $1.2 million. The cost to complete the design on it would be somewhere around $100,000. And we are in agreement with Dakota County to split the cost for doing that.
Split the cost with the state or with the other
two
county?
Counties.
The two counties. Are there other questions? We're asking, is the total request $2 million then, or $1.5 million as it's currently stated in the bill?
The other bill.
Are we in the right bill, 689?
689 has $1.5 in it, I noted.
Right. And that's what you want?
The handout says
$2 million.
Actually, $1.5 million was from last year.
Last year there was a similar bill that had $1.5 million in it. We had been hoping that the parcels could have been acquired from last year to this year. Since those efforts have not gone as fast as we had anticipated, we were requesting $2.0 million for the project as a whole. That would include the acquisition of the parcels.
Now, Madam Chair, I'm afraid that this bill for $2 million just got dropped into the hopper today.
Okay.
With Senator Murphy and I on it. Joint, you know, the neighboring districts, and so the $2 million went in the hopper today. But that is the obviously the request that you would appreciate if you'd like.
So is that?
So I'm working on 689, which is my last year's bill.
All right. So the bill number today is for the new.
I don't know if it's got a number yet.
But it is for $2 million.
Got dropped in the hopper today.
Senator Frederick
Parasol, why don't you just amend Senate File 689?
To
the contents that you have with the contents from the bill you introduced today.
Nothing else is changed. We could do that.
Acquisition.
We don't know what that is.
Adding acquisition.
Yes. We would be happy to amend this bill to cover that, but at the same time, we want to make sure that it talks about acquisition. It does include it in the language here. Yeah. Line 1.7, it says engineering, real property acquisition and construction.
Yes, it does.
So that's probably an update anyway. Considering the fact that it didn't happen.
So we'll take it under consideration with the new dollar amount?
I would move the $2 million level.
We need to make sure. Any discussion on the motion that Senator Parasol just made?
The question I have, do we have a quorum? Can we actually act on it? Can we just take it under advisement?
Well, we'll take it under advisement.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you want to move on to your second bill, Senator Parasol?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's see. It's very strange to be here.
Paper here. Madam Chair, the next bill is Senate File 2570, I believe.
Yes.
And it is This is a request for bonding proceeds, bonding money, to go to the County of Dakota in order to have acquisition of properties that we have. We do have an amendment drafted, I believe. Mr. Knopf has drafted an amendment for us. And it would change the language. If you're passing it out, I'll wait till you have it.
Madam Chair, Senator Pariseau, I did send it down to try to get a delete everything amendment drafted. I don't have it back yet, but we can work off the page and line, and then I can show where the other changes are that would be made. And then when the delete everything comes up, everybody can get copies of that. But why don't we hand this out? And then what this does is adds in the provision from the 2006 bonding bill to make some changes in the language for the $6 million that was appropriated in 2006. And then we'd also have to make a change to your existing bill. Why don't I go through that right now while people are getting copies of the page and line amendment? So if you look at Senate File 2570, the original bill on line 1.7, you would delete acquisition of and insert a grant to the County of Dakota to acquire. And then on the same line, 1.7, delete expansion of and insert a regional park and wildlife area adjacent to. So that this would read comparable to what's in the amendment for the first $6 million in 2006. So it'd be the $4 million would be for a grant to the County of Dakota to acquire land from willing sellers for a regional park and wildlife area adjacent to Vermilion Highlands Wildlife Management Area in Dakota County. And
yes.
Then it would read the same as what you're changing the appropriation from 2 years ago. I do have a delete everything amendment that we'll use for any documents that need to be passed on to the Capital Investment Committee. But you could work off this the way it is right now if you want.
I think it's probably pretty clear to people in the committee and anybody else as well as the intent here.
Thank
Dakota
you, Mr.
County
Knopf.
Has been negotiating with this family that owns the property for a very long time, probably in the neighborhood of 6 years or so. And I finally have come to closure on it, and the family has chosen to sell. So the county would like to take advantage of it themselves, you know, to be purposeful and get there quickly. And the commissioner might have some comments about that, as well as Mr. Singer to my right.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Chair, members, the Dakota County Board of Commissioners considers the Vermilion Highlands a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Day in hopes that you will agree that all of the components of this project have come together, making a project that you can't turn down. Dakota County has been working in cooperation with the Department of Natural Resources and the University of Minnesota to acquire the property and cooperatively manage a unique 4,000-acre natural area complex in the heart of one of the most rapidly developing areas within the state. The New Vermilion Highlands Research, Recreation, and Wildlife Management Area includes the 2,840-acre property that will eventually be acquired by the state as part of the 2006 University of Minnesota Stadium legislation. It also includes the 475-acre State Vermilion River Aquatic and Wildlife Management Area, as well as the potential to add the 816-acre privately owned Janine Butler Trust property, which is what brings me before you here today. The Butler Trust property is currently on the market and available to Dakota County. The acquisition of this pristine property would provide the critical connection between the Vermilion River WMA and the Vermilion Highlands Recreation Area. If acquired, the southern portion of this property would become a 360-acre expansion of the WMA, while the northern designated as a new 456-acre regional park. Without the acquisition of this parcel, the recreation and habitat benefits of this contiguous 4,000-acre unit would be greatly diminished. As you may know, it often takes decades to acquire acreage of this size to establish a regional park. We have the unusual opportunity to purchase the entire parcel and take advantage of the proximity to the DNR's WMA and the state's forthcoming acreage from the University of Minnesota. We have negotiated a purchase agreement with the Butler Trust. However, we need $4 votes to seal the deal. With me is Al Singer, who can speak to the funding specifics. And completion of Mr. Singer's remarks, we would both respond to any questions.
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Al Singer, and I'm with the Dakota County Parks and Open Space Department. As Commissioner mentioned, we've been working on this property for a long, long time. DNR has been talking with the trust for nearly 20 years because it was identified as a significant property way back when. As Commissioner Showalter mentioned, we have now secured an option agreement with the Butler Trust property. It will be going to the County Board of Commissioners to approve the conditional purchase agreement of the property. And the information will actually become public once the meeting agenda minutes go out to the media on Friday. You may recall that $6 million was set aside for this property in the 2006 legislature for the combined regional park and wildlife management area. Unfortunately, the land is very expensive. There's gravel, there's wetlands, there's ag land, there's building sites. And so we have money from the 2006 bonding. We have $1 million from the county. We have $1.87 million from the DNR. We have $800,000 from a grant from the Metropolitan Council to Dakota County for acquisition. We will also be going to the Metropolitan Council for an additional acquisition grant in March, but we are $3 million plus short in the amount of money that we would need to acquire this property. As it is planned now, closing could take place as soon as June of this year. And so we are really hopeful that you would consider this once-in-a-lifetime acquisition opportunity. I might mention, too, that there's been some confusion about the Butler Trust property. Again, the idea from your handout is that the northern portion would become a new regional park identified by the Met Council as one of the gap areas in the metropolitan regional system. The southern portion would become an expansion of the current WMA. And then together, the university, DNR, and the county is developing a joint master plan that would allow the management of this 4,000 acres in a way that hasn't been done before. With that, we would stand for any questions that the committee might have.
Oh, they're not up there. Okay. Senator Paraso, we're trying to figure out if part of the DNR's WMA budget could go to help with the acquisition cost. Have you explored that with them? Mr. Singer?
Madam Chair, the DNR has already committed $1.87 million toward this overall acquisition, and that would cover the appraised value of the southern portion of the property. What we're asking for is for filling out the balance of the property, which is much more expensive because of gravel and development rights.
Madam Chair,
Senator Paraso, I
like to recognize the partnership that's occurring among different entities for this particular purpose. And even in LCMR, whenever I rated things, I always more highly rated those that had partner capability. And so I think that speaks better than having one entity fund the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any other questions? Yeah, I think, Mr. Knopf?
Madam Chair, I just had the delete everything amendment came along. We were working off the A1, but then there were some changes to the original bill. So this is a delete everything that also incorporates the changes to the original bill. So when you do have a quorum, and I don't know if you have one. Well, you've got some,
I don't know
if you have a quorum here or not. But when you do, if you want to adopt the A3 amendment to it, that's the way Senator Paraso wants to have the bill.
We do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Knopf.
Does anybody know?
We don't have a forum.
I wasn't here. Okay.
And the others have.
The delay is really
okay. How many do we have?
We have a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum present. So Senator Pariseau moves adoption of the A3 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion does prevail. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you to the witnesses, too.
All right, I think Senator Sharon is here. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Anderson, for giving me a few moments of your time. I know you're racing through lots of hearings. I'm here today in regard to Bill number 374. This is a bill that you have heard in the past, and so you're very familiar with it, and I didn't ask the scientists and the specialists to come to hear to make their presentation again today because it's lengthy, and I didn't think, because you'd heard it before, that it would be necessary to do that. But just
Senator
to let
Sharon,
you know,
yes. Just to remind committee members, we had a hearing on this last year.
Yes.
Because this bill was introduced last session.
Yes, it was. And
Senator Sharon just wanted to come and refresh our memories.
Right, that's right, to make sure that it was still in your memory and being considered. And it's important, you know, to recognize that our waterways and our rivers and our watershed are very important, and that we have a commitment to the improvements of the watershed from those kinds of practices we engage in as just consumers of the water and the land that create that we need to respond to those things that we do within our environment. Now, Lake, this is what I finally kind of call the Lake Titlow Project, but it really is about more than Lake Titlow, which is a lake in the city of Gaylord, Minnesota. It's a part of Senate District 23. It is an 842-acre lake. The lake at one time had deep spots in it that reached about 20 feet in depth, but the sediment now approximately leaves about 4 feet of depth uniformly. And a test of the Lake Titlow's outlet showed 34 pounds of orthophosphorus exiting the lake on its journey to the Mississippi River every day. Every day. That's more than Gaylord's wastewater treatment plant, which tackles the city's entire sewage load discharges in a month. So Lake Titlow is being polluted by failing septic systems in homes and by farm chemicals drained through the field tile. It is being harmed by pollutants, which ultimately drain into the lake and then eventually move through the watershed into the river. Also, lawn chemicals are entering the lake as a part of the Gaylord stormwater system, and that also is discharging, unfortunately, into Lake Titlow. And these are the issues, excuse me, that are attempting to be resolved by this request that was approved last year by this committee. There have been some changes. There has been a request for the numbers are different, 493,000 for the improvements, so that we can divert the storm water instead of going into the lake into other systems, and $175,000 to plan and this in pre-design the study to improve the holding ponds upstream from Lake Titlow, so this is not draining into Lake Titlow. And then, as you know, it's part of the Minnesota River Basin, which is on the list of impaired waters. Gaylord, I just want to tell you that Gaylord is a very small community in my district. It's a rural community. It is a stressed community. They have enormous investment in their current city councilor, their county commissioners. They've solicited support from Minnesota State University to do a lot of the science that's associated that was presented last year on behalf of this project. They will be investing their own resources, bonding dollars, in this project at a substantial level. But their capacity as a community to raise enough revenue to resolve what is really a state's responsibility to clean up the watershed in partnership with the community is something they simply cannot do alone. So I'm here today to remind you about the importance of this project. I appreciate the fact that you looked favorably on it last year, and I know that it was vetoed because it was defined as a project probably better funded in the bonding cycle. So that brings us back here today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Senator Sharon. Are there any questions? Senator Sheldon.
Thanks, Madam Chair. In the diversion of the stormwater, will this project divert all the stormwater from the city going into the lake? It was my recollection that this, from our discussion with the city officials, that there would still be, I believe, half the pipe still going into the lake, even after this project was done, and that there was not a plan for addressing some of the other issues you were describing, such as the farm runoff.
Senator Sharon?
Well, there's two elements to this plan. One is the design in order to resolve some of the upstream issues related to the chemicals and the leaching that might be occurring from septic systems. So that's the second part of this proposal. The first is there is a street project that includes a certain portion of the community. And as long as the city is going in to resolve street issues and they'll be underground, it is that portion of the city that will be addressed with this proposal. Just that those segments that they're able to resolve because they're already engaged in street improvements in that part of the city. I can't remember exactly how many other inlets there would be that still need to be resolved as a result of that.
Madam Chair, I seem to recall at least three or four that were still going to remain. And what I didn't understand from the city was how any of this was going to address the sediment issue in the first place.
You're talking about the upstream sediment that mm-hmm. the design, that one part of the plan is to create a design for how they will develop holding systems upstream in order to control the inflow into Lake Titlow. I don't think that portion of this has been completely designed as of yet. It's a part of the ongoing. This is just the first piece of a series, I think, of requests that will be coming in terms of resolving this issue for Lake Titlow.
Thank you.
Senator Kubley, did you have a question?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Sharon, on the map that you, on your handout, do all five of those watersheds drain to Lake Titlow?
Oh, you're talking about show me the map that you're referring to.
This one?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
At least one of them flows out.
Pardon?
I think at least one of them flows out from my recollection.
I guess I'm somewhat acquainted with the topography there, so it didn't make sense to me that all five of them would drain that way, but I was just curious.
Okay.
That map was for context.
Sandy Sharon. All right. Is that...
That's your question answered.
Okay, excellent. All right. Senator Sharon, thank you for coming back and
yes.
reminding us how important this is.
Yes, so it is. It's very important.
We'll do our best to help.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to do a brief presentation with the help of the Met Council. And then we'll be done with our hearings.
Did the number change then too? Did the number change? Is that what he's doing right here?
Great, thank you, Madam Chair,
Senator
and committee
Anderson.
Members. I decided to have a separate small presentation on the issue of beneficial use of wastewater. This is part of this was a PFA request. Was to put some funding into this proposal. And it was also part of the Minnesota Environmental Partnership's big request. And so there's a lot of interest in it. And I think it's really important for us to spend a few minutes just understanding, because this is a really innovative and emerging important area that I think we need to pay attention to. And I'll start by saying in 2005, the LCMR gave a grant to the Met Council to study the idea of reusing the effluent coming from wastewater treatment plants in industrial usage, to reuse that water. This is the report, which I'm now going to read to you. No, I'm just kidding. That explains how to do that. That came back from the LCMR request. And the Metropolitan Council has proposed some demonstration projects to try to do that. And that's what the request was to fund some of these projects. The PFA had asked for $5 million to be included in the bonding bill, and there's nothing in the governor's recommendation. So I just wanted to highlight this. We've had a lot of discussion about water uses by different industries across Minnesota and trying to figure out how we can conserve water, not tap into aquifers so much for whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial use, how we can figure out ways to preserve our waters in Minnesota. So I think this is a really important part of that equation. So I'm looking forward to hearing what the Metropolitan Council can teach us about what is possible here. And Bryce Pickard, some of you will remember that he joined us for part of our wastewater treatment tour, where we all learned a lot about this issue. So he's the Assistant General Manager of Environmental Services for the Met Council. So Mr. Pickard can explain this in a little more detail.
Welcome, Mr. Pickard.
Thank you, Senator. Committee members, I think all agree that water is a precious and finite natural resource, and I think that was the impetus originally for the LCMR grant, certainly, and it was something that the Metropolitan Council is interested in. And it ties in nicely, I think, with the ongoing efforts right now on developing a regional water supply, because as we look in the region here, we see that groundwater resources are limited and the area continues to grow. When we look outstate Minnesota, they already recognize that their groundwater aquifers have limited capacity, and so we need to find ways to make sure that water is not the limitation to economic development and the development of the entire state. So that was the real premise behind the LCMR study. And more specifically, what that says is we have a very reliable source of water for industry around the state of Minnesota in the wastewater plants that serve the communities out there right now. The question then simply was, well, what does an industry need as far as the quality of water for its various uses, and what would it take to take our good quality wastewater effluent and perhaps remove some more things to be suited to the industrial uses that you can think of. And this study was done for us mostly by a consulting firm to research the industrial categories and their different water quality needs and so forth, and then match that up against typical wastewater treatment quality and look at the different technologies and costs to further treat that water. And then, of course, you'd have the cost of transmitting it to the industry, since the industry may or may not be located close to the treatment plant. So overall, that showed us it's quite feasible. All the technologies needed are currently available. And in some places around the country where water already is more of a shortage issue, they're already in use, although the typical reuse of wastewater is for irrigation. It certainly is quite feasible for industrial purposes. So that was really the general findings, and we worked with some of the industries around the state in getting input into this process. And they, as well as the state agencies and others, also suggested that to get this going, we really need to probably have some demonstration projects. And we aren't really proposing anything specifically. It was just identified that in order to overcome what is at the moment still a bit of an economic barrier, as well as a psychological barrier, perhaps, to using wastewater, that if we could somehow promote a couple of demonstration projects, that would really get it off the ground for the state. We don't have a particular proposal that we have. This is more intended as an idea, and then out of that grew this proposal for funding. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Well, it certainly is an important idea. I I came from a community meeting last night, and while we were talking about solar and renewable energy, a number of the folks in the community were asking about what are we going to do about our water and our aquifers. So it's very timely. I think it is on the minds of many people out there in Minnesota. Are there questions from people at the table?
All right. Well, thank you so much, Madam Chair and members, for giving this some consideration. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more. Hopefully we'll have, if we can get some of these demonstration grants going around the state, we can get some feedback over and some results over the next year or so to help us in our policy making to see how we can encourage the reuse of water. Great. Thank you.
That will be welcome information. I believe we can adjourn the meeting.
No, we're not. No.
Now I have to do the work. I didn't know that.
That's okay.
You don't have it on the agenda here.
No.
It's on for. It's on.
Yeah.
It's on
Thanks, Timmy. This is probably the part a lot of people have been waiting for, which is we're going to pass out a spreadsheet now, which is just some recommendations to the committee for our recommendations to Senator Langseth. And I forgot to say, the beneficial reuse of wastewater, this was a PFA request. I think I mentioned that. There's a bill in front of you that came over from the House that calls for the PCA to oversee these grants, but I think I'll just leave it at for now with the PFA. They had made the original request, and we can certainly discuss that as we move forward about where it belongs. So let me just say by way of introduction, and then we will have Mr. Mueller go through the spreadsheet, that I tried to get input and feedback from everyone on the committee to whatever extent we possibly could, and ask for suggestions about priorities. It's always difficult to pick and choose among a lot of really worthy and important projects. So we did our best to try to prioritize. We decided, we had some really good suggestions from staff, and decided to try to create a framework, because we don't have a budget target. We don't have a certain dollar amount that we're to recommend to the Capital Bonding Committee. But it was clear to me that if we just recommend everything, then all of our time and our work and our input is really meaningless. So what we decided to do was look at what former Senator Moore said. When he was here testifying, he talked about how they had looked back at the last 10 years of bonding bills and estimated that the portion of bonding bills over the last 10 years, on average, that was allocated to this portion of the bonding bill, the environment and natural resources portion, was roughly in the 20 to 21% range. And so we came up with a rough target of $200 million that would reflect that 20% range. And so we're going to, our proposal is to send to the bonding committee is that we should be, our committee's recommendation should reflect about 20% of the bonding bill. And so that's what we are doing in this spreadsheet. The PFA request is above and beyond that, because that money doesn't directly come out of our agencies that we oversee. But we have a great deal of interest in the wastewater projects, so we wanted to make sure that we put our 2 cents in on that. Senator Rummel?
My hearing clicked wrong.
Okay.
The 21% equals how much money?
About $200 million. And so we tried to fit our recommendations into a rough target of $200 million. And so if you look at we tried to put things into an A list and a B list. So if you look at the priority A, if you add up that column, you will get to the total on the last page, which is $201 million, $201,071,000. and then we have the PFA request, which is
right above
that.
That's the total.
Okay.
So it's 50.
And then there's a priority B list, which includes a lot of other projects that members had asked for and agencies had asked for. But that would be a much higher dollar amount. And then the PFA request is around, what, 50 million. So I'm going to let Mr. Bueller go through this spreadsheet and then take comments and suggestions from the committee.
Madam Chair and members, I won't go through every project, but I'll try highlighting a couple areas where maybe we've fashioned some sort of a proposal. Line number 3 on flood mitigation grants, the proposal is for $13 million, but there'd be language, recommending language I would to include the Stillwater and Roseau project.
And members, just to remind you, you should be looking under Priority 8 column, Division Recommendation. Okay, that's.
And Madam Chair, a lot of the Priority B requests are actually the difference between what we're able to put in under Priority A and then maybe the full request. So sometimes a Priority B is just sort of to make up the difference from what was originally requested in a bill.
That's mine.
Under line 7, we get the, as part of the dam renovation and removal project, line 7, we have Wyndham, would be listed separately. One of the projects we just heard, for now we have the Vermilion, would be in addition to the $10 million WMA request for DNR. There is $1 million in there right now for that. That was line 14. We have $12.5 million on line 20 for large-scale forest conservation easements. Another one under state parks, line 24. The $10 million here is for the department handed out a list of sort of a 10-year plan of deferred maintenance. The $10 million would go for that. There's the first biennium of their 10-year plan for deferred maintenance. Then we also have $2.4 million for Greenleaf under acquisition, and then $2 million for Cuyuna for the trails there. Those would be separate items.
And the North Shore.
And then the $2 million for North Shore State Park development would also be a separate item.
If I can just interrupt. So that $10 million would be for the entire statewide list of deferred maintenance for all the state parks around the state.
Then under trails, we have on line 29, $3 million that would just go into the general pot under general rehabilitation that's nonspecific for trails. That would just go to the DNR to go to their ongoing maintenance of other trails. And then below that, we've listed some separate trails, some in A list, some in B. And you can go through those. On the next page, I guess as an update now, since we've heard the bill on line 49, Senator Wieger's bill, under Senate request, I had 650 listed originally. I guess the updated request is $1.5 million. So you might want to note that the new request is for $1.5 million on line 49. Trying to think of some other things here. The Bertram Chain of Lakes, just want to note that's one where we're able to put half of it in the Priority A list. It's kind of a pretty big request. And then I think that's it. Highlights at least for the State Fair fish and it doesn't have to say wildlife, I guess. Probably just fish display. On line 66, we have a smaller amount under the request and Priority A just for planning money. Maybe have them take a look at doing some different things with the fishing or the fish display. Under PCA, right now we have the Washington County as a zero under Priority A. There is some discussions about whether to use a revenue bond proposal that is under works right now that would have the PCA issue revenue bonds for some of these closed landfill projects and then use different revenue sources maybe to pay for those revenue bonds. And it's something that we're still under discussion and still working on. So we have a zero for that. And zero for capital assistance right now. And then for the Albert Lee proposal, it's about half of their request. And that was a proposal that we heard last year. Their total request has been updated to $2.996 million on line 79, and we have about half of that here. Under Board of Water and Soil Resources, I guess an update from Senator the late Titlow project that we just heard. On line 93, we should change the Senate request to 668 instead of 475. And we'll have to talk about whether we recommend the full amount then under priority A. Then the last page. Second to last page. Met Council. The governor and agency requests had just requested one amount, and that would go to a variety of projects, more sort of updates and deferred maintenance. With this proposal, there's $8 million for that list of projects, plus a number of specific requests underneath that. So $8 million would go towards the list that the Metro Parks provided. They had a number of smaller projects that would go to existing parks. And then everything below that would be additional requests. And I guess on line 101, we should put under the Senate request, Senator Parisel's more recent version of the bill is asking for $2 million instead of $1.5. And then under line 112, I want to note that for the Minneapolis request, the $2 million there is just for the for obtaining the for the connections for the grand rounds.
I said that too.
I know, you've all been doing it.
And does not include the lighting. Then we have the zoo request for $11 million, and that is a little bit higher than what was actually in the Senator Metzen's bill, $1 million higher. Then we also have a PFA request here. And like Senator Madam Chair said, that the PFA is not really under our authority or in our budget area right now, but we are making a request to the Capital Bonding Committee for, I guess it's at $49 million now, not 50. And then we have the last one here for under Department of Commerce. There wasn't an agency request for this, but this is Senator Dibble's bill, $7.5 million for the energy efficient grants.
That could go to local government.
Yes.
And school districts.
So in summary, we have about, on the last page on line 147, about $250 million right now. That includes PFA. That's about 26%. If we use $965 million as sort of the total bonding bill, I think is the number they're talking about. So the 250 would be about 26%, and the 201 is right barely below 21%. And that's with the existing numbers in there now.
Questions? All right, members, thank you very much, Mr. Mueller. I would welcome any feedback that members have. And, you know, I think this is a pretty good budget target that's realistic that we ought to send to Senator Langseth. I don't really want to change that dramatically. I like the 21%. But if members have very strong feelings about moving anything around, now is the time to bring that up. Senator Chaudhry.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment, Madam Chair. To compliment you on your priorities on the wastewater, and this
Thank
was
you.
A it was a contentious debate last year on the phosphorus reduction requirements, and it was clear that what needed to come out of that debate was a commitment to help, particularly rural communities, adjust to that requirement, and I think this will go a long way towards that.
Yes, good. Very good point, and I appreciate that. Yeah, that phosphorus reduction grants are absolutely critical, as is the whole area of funding. And I know Senator Saxhog, and he wrote me some recommendations for the committee, and he said we need dedicated funding for those wastewater treatment for that funding for the long run. But we'll see about that. That's neither here nor there in this particular recommendation. But we know that the need is great around the state. Senator Vickerman, I just wanted to this Environmental Learning Center that we just heard about, that's listed on the B list here, and we weren't really familiar with it until today. So we just, I don't know if you have any suggestions for
967
for any way that we could try to help that move forward, because it's it seems like a really important project in the whole southwestern corner of the state. It would serve a lot of people. So.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm going to speak for it. Why wouldn't I? Because I've been down there and we've toured it. But I also know that we're facing obligations here. I would like to, if we can, give them some. I don't know if we can do the whole $2.5 million. It'll raise money to go along with it. Is there some way we could? I notice a lot of these you have them.
Yeah.
Would that be possible?
Well, that would kind of bust open our target, so that we've self-imposed.
I got to explain to them I did the best I could.
Could we put in? I mean, if we gave them some planning dollars to get them started, would that be helpful? Because this is the first time I think they've come in front of this committee and. Oftentimes, it takes a few years to get the whole job done.
Well, Madam Chair, then, in my good feeling today, if we could give them $500,000 for planning, tell them to come back if they need more. Just a suggestion. I know everybody would like to have. I know.
Excuse me. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair and
Jackson
Senator Vickerman, I would like to help them out too. And as I was remembering that facility, and I was along on the same bonding trip that Senator Chaudhry was, as I recall, they have an old barn they want to rehab and use in their facility, which would be a nice thing to do. And their classroom and headquarters really is just. A very small, I think, two-bedroom home that they have tried to use as a headquarters. Now, I don't know which of those would be the higher priority to help, or if we could get planning money to let them plan for developing both of them, or if we could get planning money and enough money to rehab one of the. Because this is a regional effort, because that ecology bus travels all over southwest Minnesota, bringing some very good. Environmental classrooms right to the doors of schools. So nice if we could help them.
Senator Chaudhry?
I want to see the entire project move forward. And so to keep it in play, my preference would, and it's your project, it's in your district, but my suggestion might be to give them the dollars adequate for total pre-design and design. And then when that is completed, they will then be able to come back in the next cycle with the total and complete plan that we can fund then. So the question is, how much would they need to complete pre-design and design? And I don't know if $100,000 is adequate, but it seems like it would be.
That might do the trick. I mean, it's certainly, I think $500,000 would be more than needed for that, because that would be, you know, a big chunk of the total budget. We could put something like that in and not bust out our target. You think that would help, Senator Vickerman, if we all promise we're going to finish the job? Oh, $100,000 for planning?
Well,
you think that would be
enough? Senator Vickerman, I threw out $100,000 for pre-design and design. I want to see the pre-design and design fully funded. So if $100,000 covers it, then I'd like to suggest that. Otherwise, if there's another number that we know of that they need for pre-design and design, I'd like to hear it. But that's, in my experience, $100,000 for this type of project would be adequate for architectural fees. But maybe someone else has a different opinion.
Senator Fredrickson, you're
author, and we both have visited that.
What do you think, Senator Fredrickson?
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, why don't we take Senator Chaudhry's suggestion of $100,000, and maybe you could call them and see what they would need to do a good plan and some pre-design, and perhaps revisit it with Senator Langseth later if we need to adjust that.
But I think that's a good suggestion, and I think we definitely want to put it on the A list so it shows up there that it's a high priority for our committee to
It's a project.
So do you want to move that we put the $100,000 on the A list for planning as a placeholder, and then I'll certainly support talking with Senator Langseth as well about that if we can find out if there's a different number.
Probably.
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, I was thinking. Senator Chaudhry, I think, had the terminology correct, pre-design and design.
Yes.
I know we have that for the other one towards this plan. You should probably put pre-design and design in all of your decisions because that's bondable. Not all planning. All planning isn't bondable.
Okay.
But pre-design and design are the proper terms to use.
Okay, excellent. So on that motion, let's vote on that. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The other thing I wanted to comment is that Mr. Mueller suggesting, because they're planning to incorporate all these wonderful renewable energy ideas, there's probably other places where they could get some funding to help with that. For example, the energy efficient bonding grants. If the bonding committee is able to fund that under Senator Dibble's bill, I think those are grants rather than loans. So this would be a perfect, because it is a county facility. County-owned, that would be a perfect use of some of that money.
Madam Chair, it'd be a good, I don't want to say a pilot project, be a good project for people to look at thermal. I'm just trying to figure out thermal, finally.
Yeah.
As I said before, when I fed cattle, we always
use
put
that
a big
heat.
Tile down the ground.
Yeah.
But the water on there never did freeze. And it's exactly the same thing that we're talking about. We are going to move in that direction. There's no doubt in my mind. So maybe we can. I sat on the next gen board, maybe we could.
That's right. They've got some grant money.
I think, here on there. Maybe we could do something there.
Great.
Madam Chair, I'd like to have the whole thing. Senator Vickerman. As I said, I'm realistic. I know that we're facing tough things. First time they've come here. I'm here before on the bus because I've done it myself. So I want to thank Senator Chaudhry. I think it's a good idea. And I don't know how much they've done yet, but we'll find out.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm glad they were here so that we could get a really good sense of the good things that they have in mind. I think it'll be a great facility. Members, I just wanted to comment after going through the spreadsheet, in terms of we tried to be as balanced as we could. It's not an exact science ever, but I think for all of us, our state parks, our statewide trails, our metro parks, and our regional out of the metro area parks, they're all priorities for all of us, and we put significant dollars into all four of those areas, and some of it for specific projects and some of it for overall maintenance and taking care of what we've got. And so I hope members feel good about that, but I feel like it's a really good request to pass on to the bonding committee that represents how strongly we feel about supporting all of those assets around the state. We have some incredible parks in all different parts of the state that serve millions of people, and we got to take care of them. We also, the biofuels, kind of the next generation of biofuels, I think is a really high priority for us as well to try to help figure out how we can get our farmers to make money growing perennial crops and turning it into biofuels and protecting marginal land at the same time. I see that as a really exciting opportunity for the future that Minnesota has a chance to lead in. So we put $15 million into that recommendation to the bonding committee, and I hope they can see their way to have a significant, have significant support for that proposal as well. Any other comments members have?
Madam Chair, I want to thank you because It's a lot of work. I know how hard it is to try to figure out how
Well, I appreciate that, Senator Vickerman, and I want to thank everyone on the committee and all of our staff, because we basically started putting this together a good month before session started, because we're trying to go with a very fast timeline that the bonding committee has set for itself. And so we put dozens of hours into this long before session even started. So I apologize to anyone who kind of feels like they missed the boat, because it's only the second week of session, isn't it? It's hard to believe. But we have done a tremendous amount of work to get this done and try to put together a really fair, balanced package that fits within a reasonable target. And so I really appreciate all the work that went into this as well. And we are going to, so we'll pass this on, we'll vote on this, but then we'll pass it on to Senator Langseth's committee with a cover letter just explaining a couple of the particulars that I just mentioned, how we arrived at our target. And then there's just a little bit of language that goes along with a couple of these bills that we've already passed. And we'll just send that on as well. And then Senator Fredrickson and Senator Kubley and Senator Chaudhry and Senator Dill. You're all our representatives on the bonding committee, right? So it's going to be up to you to fight for our committee.
We know who's going to be in trouble.
Senator Parasol.
I'm sorry. If you're ready to take the vote, I need to know what we're voting on. Are we taking the vote now? Or?
Yeah, I think we're ready to go ahead.
I missed out of what you have here.
Okay,
it's in the question.
We're trying, yeah. And we did, we went through the whole spreadsheet, and you'll see we put $1 million on the A list for Vermilion, and then we put the remainder on the B list. So that means your best to the bonding committee. And the Cannon River Bridge. I mean, these were placeholders that we are proposing to the bonding committee, was the best that we could do.
And that's A and B together? I mean, is that it's in the question?
We're going to send the whole request on to the bonding committee.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. So with that, shall we vote on this, recommending the spreadsheet to Senator Langseth? If there's no further discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? I love this committee. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much. Senator Sharon just wanted to pass out a letter again expressing her support for Lake Titlow, just in case we didn't know how much she cared about it. So with that, we'll get this, the final, packet ready to send to the bonding committee, and we'll get copies out to all of you. Thank you so much for all your hard work, members, and to the staff, thank you so much as well for all of your hard work. All right, the meeting is adjourned. All right.
Sue, let me see. Do we need any of these papers? I don't need to save anything, do I? I'll stuff it in here.
Okay, let me look at this. Then it goes on the floor.
Now we have to deal with supplemental budget. While we do LCC tomorrow next.
Tom, you showed up.
Yeah.
You weren't here when I left. That's why I say that.
Great to have.